I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
welcome to Susie Larson Live. I'm always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, today we are going on a treasure hunt to discover more of God and His intended blessings for us. We're going to use the map provided by the celebration of the Jewish holidays. You know, there's so many treasures to mine in these holidays, insights that are extremely important and relevant to the times in which we find ourselves. In fact, my guest today writes this. He says, "It is in looking back at what God has done that we can see forward to His future plans for us. For I know the plans I have in mind for you, declares Adonai, plans for shalom and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope." I'm so excited about today's show. Our good friend Rabbi Jason Sobel joins us again today to help us connect the dots and see God's word with the clarity He intended for us. And the book we're talking about today is Aligning with God's Appointed Times, Discover the Prophetic and Spiritual Meaning of the Biblical Holidays. Super interesting book. We got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Here's the number again, 877-933-2484. Two quick announcements. We've got our live stream event tomorrow night. That's Thursday, February 10th, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. It's titled Love's Power to Heal. Dr. Troy and I are going to talk about the physiological implications of living loved, of knowing that you're loved, of loving others well, that knowing that you're loved and living loved actually affects your cells, not just your soul. Plus, we'll take your health and healing questions. We'll get some really great giveaways. If you want more information on the event, I'm giving you the same text number, just different instructions here. Text the word event to 877-933-2484. And one more quick shout out to our friends from KLMP 88.3 FM in Rapid City. Woohoo! We've got our latest family members, Family of Faith Radio. Thank you for joining. We're so grateful to do this journey with you. Welcome to the Faith Radio family. If you happen to be listening in Rapid City right now, we'd love to send you a welcome packet of some gift goodies. I'm super excited about that. You can same text number now, but here's the next word. Text welcome to 877-933-2484. All right, now let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Rabbi Jason Sobel is the founder of Fusion Global, a ministry that seeks to bring people into the full inheritance of the faith by connecting treasures of the old and the new. Rabbi Jason's voice is authentic, being raised in a Jewish home and qualified by years of diligent academic work. His voice is prophetic, touched by the Spirit. He has a radical testimony of a supernatural encounter with Yeshua Jesus, a moment that awakened him to his calling in Christ Jesus. He's the author of several books, including one he co-authored with Kathy Lee Gifford, titled The Rock, the Road, and the Rabbi. Today, we're talking about his book, Aligning with God's Appointed Times. Rabbi, welcome back to the show.
Shalom. Thank you for having me back. I'm excited to be with you.
Looking so forward to the conversation. And you've been on before enough times to know this. We love to start every day talking scripture. And I'm wondering, as you spent time with Jesus, what's he been talking to you about these days?
Yeah, as we've headed into 2022, it's interesting. You know, I'm into numbers, and in 22 is the number that's connected to truth, because the 22nd letter of the Hebrew alphabet is the letter Tav, which is connected to truth. And just thinking about knowing the truth, and the truth will set you free, and just how there's been such an attack on truth in this time and season, but just so how important truth is in the day in which we're living in, and especially the truth of God's word. And one of the fascinating things that really struck me about that as I was meditating upon the meaning of truth is that there's one letter difference between the word for truth in Hebrew and the word for death. And that is the letter Aleph. And the letter Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and most of the divine names like Elohim and Adonai begin with the letter Aleph. And I think what it reminds us is as soon as you remove the Lord, right, as soon as, you know, there's no lasting or eternal life without the Lord and without his word. And we try and separate God from our lives instead of finding truth. What we'd find is the exact opposite. We find death. And it's also interesting because there's one letter difference between exile and chaos in Hebrew, and it's also that same letter, Aleph. Because when you take God out, when you take truth out, what you're left with is chaos. And I think that's what we see going on in our world today. That's what we see going on in our country today. You know, when we don't put biblical truth and Jesus, Yeshua, who is the truth, we're left with chaos and exile. And practically, it's so important because what I've come to realize is thinking and praying about all this is that hate is rooted in fear, and fear is rooted in lies. So the root of fear is lies. And what we need to understand is that the way that we overcome the lies that are fed by fears is by coming into an understanding of the truth, because truth transforms. And what we believe matters. You know, when we believe the lies, we become exiled. We find parts of our life that die and wither, and chaos comes in. But when we know the truth sets us free. We know Yeshua, who is the way, the truth, and the life, it completely changes and transforms us.
I don't even know what to say. There's so much there. I love so much. I love it. You know, it goes to show you, you know, when people talk about my truth and your truth, they sound so informed, and I don't mean to sound that condescendingly, but there is kind of almost a pride, and this is my truth. That's not my truth. This is my truth. But when you remove Jesus from the truth, there is no more truth, and then it ends in death. Because if you're saying, you know, truth is just a relative term, that, you know, there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death. That's exactly what that scripture means, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think, like, because I think there's a dead truth and there's a living truth. And what I mean by dead truth is that there's truth that is correct factually and scientifically, but it doesn't lead to life. Because, you know, even, you know, science and academics can tell us to some extent the why. I mean, can to some extent tell us the how, but not the why. So, yes, you can have a lot of information that's factual, but it doesn't lead to life or transformation apart from, you know, the living word, Yeshua, Jesus, and the biblical truth. And I think truth isn't just a proposition, it's a person. And if we don't know the person who is the truth, then we're never going to truly find the life and the meaning that we're looking for.
Come on, somebody. I was going to ask for an amen, but Susan already texted in three amens, so that's good. Somebody else got to give me an amen. You said another way to look at the Jewish holidays is not only as divine mirrors reflecting historical events and future promises, but also as gift, a gift that keeps giving in the present. Unpack that a bit more.
Yeah, I mean, just by way of introduction, I think it's important to understand that every major event in the life of Jesus happened on a biblical holiday. So obviously these days are important and significant on a number of different levels. But on a very personal level, the interesting thing is that one of the Hebrew words for holiday is the word chagim, and chag literally means a circle. And the reason why it's connected to this word for circle is that the holidays are not just meant to be past remembrances. They're meant to be present occurrences and activations in our life, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the truths that are revealed in the holidays isn't just what he did back then for the children of Israel, or he did in the days of Jesus and the apostles. It's what he wants to do in our lives right now, again and again and again.
Love it so much. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to do a quick overview of some of the Jewish holidays, Shabbat, Passover, First Fruits. We also welcome your questions. If you've got questions, now is the time to text them in, 877-933-2484. Talking to Rabbi Jason Sobel. We love it when he joins us on the show. He's got a great book, Aligning with God's Appointed Times, Discover the Prophetic and Spiritual Meaning of the Biblical Holidays. So these aren't just ancient holidays. They bring truth and revelation to our very real life right now, our very real faith right now. And that's why we've got Rabbi here today to unpack these, help us understand them a bit more. I'm telling you, when the word starts to come alive and you understand how intentional God was at every turn, it gives you just the assurance that you're really in good hands because you're in God's hands. We'll be back in a minute.
On that day, we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith with one voice, a thousand generations. Sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever He shall reign.
Hallelujah. I can't listen to that song without getting holy goosebumps from the top of my head to the tip of my toes. That's Phil Wickham, in case you wonder, because sometimes when I play that song, someone emails me and says, what was that song? Susie Larson here, talking to Rabbi Jason Sobel. He's a New York Times bestselling author. We're drawing from his book, Aligning with God's Appointed Times, Discover the Prophetic and Spiritual Meaning of the Biblical Holidays. If you've got questions about these biblical holidays, you go ahead and text us, 877-933-2484. So if we could, Rabbi, let's just take a quick overview of some of these holidays, then maybe we'll dig in a little deeper. First one, Shabbat, rest, remembrance, restoration. Say a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, in one of the Ten Commandments is that, you know, God says that you'll work 6 days and on the seventh day you'll rest, just like God rested from the work of creation. So we rest to sanctify God's name and reminds us that He is the Creator. Also reminds us of God's redemption from Egypt, that God brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm. And so creation and redemption is what it reminds us of. And literally, when we can't take a rest, when we can't take a break and have time for God and family, then we're still slaves in Egypt. And we haven't fully come out.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And, yeah. And then I think on a prophetic level, all of these point to Yeshua, Jesus. And ultimately, it points to the messianic kingdom and the rest that will occur when He comes. And it says Shabbat is a foretaste of the messianic kingdom. And even the messianic kingdom in Jewish thought is called Yom Shekelo Shabbat, the time that is all Shabbat, which is in a sense a return to Eden, which was there was only rest and connection in that time.
Wow. Okay. Passover.
Yeah. Passover. So there's three. So there's the weekly holiday of Shabbat. And then there's three spring holidays. And the three spring holidays found in Leviticus 23. The first is Passover, which reminds us of the redemption. God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm. It's called Zaman Chiratenu, the time of our freedom. So it's a time where God wants to set free. And so it's so significant that that is fulfilled in Jesus dying on the cross as the Passover lamb, because it's by means of His death and resurrection that He sets us free and redeems us. And I'm sure we'll get more into it, but the Last Supper was actually a Passover Seder.
Very good. First fruits.
Yeah. First fruits is significant. It's an agricultural holiday. If on first fruits, basically they would go, the priests in Jerusalem would go down to the fields, cut some of the grain, wave the first fruits of the barley offering before the Lord. And if you had a good first fruits, it was a guarantee of a later, greater harvest. And part of the significance of that is that Paul calls Jesus the first fruits from among the dead. Mm-hmm. And because Jesus rose from the dead, it's the guarantee that we will one day rise from the dead. First Him, and then ultimately us. And that's part of the significance as well. It kind of seems like a strange passage, but The first zombie apocalypse is actually in the Bible. When Jesus dies on the cross, dead people come out of the tombs. Some people really are like, what the heck is going on here? It's kind of weird. But actually, it's meant to be a first fruits. It's meant to be a reminder of the fact that it was a resuscitation, but it's meant to remind us that one day the dead who have faith will rise.
I still wonder about that at times. Like, what was that like for loved ones and family members going, wait, what? What? I'm quite sure we had your funeral. But anyway, okay, here we go. Pentecost.
Yeah, Pentecost. It's in Hebrew known as Shavuot. It's known as the Feast of Weeks. And two significant things about it. It's one, another, it's the fulfillment of the beginning of the harvest. So what began on first fruits is fulfilled on Pentecost with the fullness of the wheat harvest to the Lord. So there's a harvest holiday aspect to it. But the more significant aspect for Jewish people and biblically is that it's known as Aman Matan Torah Tainu, the time of the giving of the Torah. It's the day that it's the day that God comes down on Mount Sinai and speaks the Ten Commandments to the people, because Penta means 50. 50 from what? 50 days after coming out of Egypt, God met Israel at Mount Sinai and spoke to them. And that's part of the significance that in Acts chapter 2, Shavuot, Pentecost, God releases the Holy Spirit on the people in Jerusalem as the apostles are up there celebrating that holiday. It's significant that on the same day that God spoke the Ten Commandments, which represents the Word of God, is the same day that the Holy Spirit comes, because at creation, God brought forth the world as the Spirit of God was hovering over the chaos. God spoke and the world came into being. So just like creation came about by word and spirit, so new creation comes about by the word of God and the transforming power of the Spirit of God in our life.
Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah is the Jewish New Year. It's also known biblically as Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. And it's significant on many different levels. One level is it's a time, the blast of the shofar, which is the main thing we do on Rosh Hashanah. It's calling us, it's a spiritual alarm clock. It's calling us to wake up and return to the Lord. But it's also significant on so many other levels. It's the day that God created Adam and Eve. And so it's the day that we celebrate the birthday of creation. And so even the blowing of the shofar is a reminder of the breath God breathed into the first man and woman in which we became living beings. And so it's just a very spiritually significant. Prophetically, Paul writes that the Messiah, that Yeshua, is going to return with the sound of the trumpet. And the trumpet is literally not like a metal trumpet, brass trumpet, or silver trumpet, but it's literally the shofar. So the shofar reminds us that God is going to cause his people to repent, and they're going to return to him. And it's a reminder of both God's the body of Messiah being caught up to meet Jesus, as well as God regathering Israel for the final redemption.
Wow, that's amazing. Yom Kippur?
Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. And it's the holiest day of the year. Happens 10 days after Rosh Hashanah, on the 10th day of the month of Tishrei. It was the one day of the year the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies, and it was the day in which atonement was made for the national sins of Israel. And so ultimately it points to Yeshua as the final atonement for sins, the one who wipes our slate clean and gives us freedom. And it ultimately points to the day that all Israel will be saved and all the nations will recognize Yeshua Jesus as the Messiah. It's also significant that it was on this day that after Moses came down the mountain, saw the children of Israel committing the golden calf, smashed the tablets, he went up another time to get a second set of tablets. And the day that he came down was actually Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is when he presented the second set of unbroken tablets to the people, and it's symbolic of second chances.
Oh, wow. Fantastic. I don't know if I'm saying this one right. Sukkot? Sukkot?
Yeah, Sukkot, yeah.
Okay.
Also known as the Feast of Tabernacles. And Sukkot is the seventh holiday in the seventh month, and it lasts for 7 days. So it's something about it being the holiday of completion. And the significance of that is that it celebrates God's presence, protection, and provision for the children of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness for those 40 years. And prophetically, it points to the establishment of God's kingdom. That's why in the book of Zechariah, it says Zechariah 14 says all the nations of the world will go up from year to year to Jerusalem in the kingdom to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And by the way, I believe it's actually the day that Jesus was born. And that's part of the reason John 1:14 says the word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Actually, part of the reason why people are going up is they're celebrating the word that became flesh and tabernacled among us, Jesus.
My goodness. Hanukkah.
Yeah, Hanukkah is known as the Feast of Dedication. So we see Jesus celebrating Sukkot in John chapter 7, and we see him celebrating Hanukkah in John chapter 10. And so it's a holiday that celebrates there was a wicked king, who Antiochus, who went into the temple and desecrated it, offered a pig to Zeus on the altar and defiled it. And there were these godly Jewish priests that led a revolt, and eventually they won against all odds, recaptured the temple, dedicated it to God. And the theme verse is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. So it really celebrates us being dedicated to the Lord. And it's also known as the Festival of Lights, because they went in, they rededicated the temple. There's only enough oil to last for one day, and it miraculously burns for eight. So it points to Jesus as the light of the world, and it points to us being dedicated to him and burning bright for all the world to see.
Just digging deeper, I mean, these are just sort of overview looks, but just even hearing what you have to say, Rabbi, just brings the word to life. And I just love that we get to have these times with you where we can take a deeper look and get a greater understanding. We didn't get to Purim yet, but we have to take a break. When we come back, we'll touch on that one, but then we're going to back up and take these a little bit deeper. So we'll talk about Shabbat, rest, remembrance, restoration. How does that apply to us today? What is the invitation for us today? Talking to Rabbi Jason Sobel. His book is titled Aligning with God's Appointed Times: Discover the Prophetic and Spiritual Meaning of the Biblical Holidays. We've got a handful of copies to give away today. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. I pray it's a good day for you so far. Talking to our friend Rabbi Jason Sobel about his book, Aligning with God's Appointed Times: Discover the Prophetic and Spiritual Meaning of the Biblical Holidays. We've been doing kind of a 30,000-foot view of these different Jewish celebrations, and they're so profound for us today. And there's one more we didn't get to on the list before we kind of go back and do a little bit deeper dive, but this one I found so fascinating. Purim, where you talked about, I saw a different interview of you, where you talked about how there's times where we see God's hand at work, but other times his hand is hidden, but he's still God. And I don't know that I'm saying it the way that you said it, Rabbi, but go ahead and unpack this particular festival, if you would.
Yeah, Purim, or Purim, is the holiday based on the book of Esther. And the story is there was this bad man by the name of Haman, and when he saw that Mordecai, the Jew, wouldn't bow down to him, he wanted to destroy all the Jewish people. And a long story short, Mordecai and Esther wind up saving the Jewish people, and Haman gets hung on his own gallows that he prepared to hang Mordecai on. And there's a deeper meaning to the story, because the book of Esther almost actually didn't make it into the Bible. And the reason is that God's name isn't mentioned in the book. And the rabbis were like, well, can we include a book in the Bible that doesn't really mention God's name? And so much of it actually seems to happen by chance. And that's actually the whole point of the story, because what's interesting is that the book of Esther, the holiday is celebrated Purim on the 14th day of the month of Adar. And Adar is the last calendar month on the Hebrew calendar, and it's celebrated on the 14th day. And the very next month is the first month of the Hebrew calendar, which is the month of Nisan, which happens to be Passover on the 14th day. So you have these two holidays on the first month, last month, both on the 14th day. And the interesting thing is that 14 in Hebrew is the number of the hand. Yad equals 14. And so it's really about two hands. Passover reveals God's clearly seen hand in our life, right? It's the overt miracles that the children of Israel saw, the Egyptians saw. They were just so clear. Everyone saw what was going on. So that's about the revealed hand of God. But Purim is about the hidden hand of God. It was like, you know, where was God in the midst of it? His name isn't even mentioned. It seems like God has forgotten about the people, but it's meant to remind us that even when we can't see the hand of God, we have to trust the heart of God, because he was the one who was working out all of the details behind the scenes, even though it wasn't so obvious until you get to the very end of the story, where it just so happens that Esther was the one chosen and Mordecai overheard the plot and the king couldn't sleep. And it just so happened that the place that they were reading to him from was about Mordecai, who saved his life, and he hadn't done anything to honor him. And it just so happened that Haman walked in. Get the point.
Right? Yes.
None of these things were just so happened. It was God's hidden hand orchestrating all of these things in our lives. And I just want to encourage everyone, because as we're in 2022, the numerical value of the phrase in his hand in Hebrew, biyado, equals 22. And so especially in this year with all the craziness that is going on in our world, we have to remember we can have hope because everything is in his hand.
Come on, somebody. That is anybody else just kind of going mind blown? That is so amazing. And I mean, it's like I love Jesus. I spend time in his word. I love walking intimately, listening for his voice. But I didn't know some of these things. And so to have you unpack these, it just makes you realize you're tethered to a God who is so much more sovereign, so much more in control, so much more involved than we even give him credit for. And how many of these parts of our stories do we write off as happenstance when there's really no such thing when it comes to God's involvement in our lives?
Absolutely. And that's, again, it's when you think about the name of this holiday, this is on the surface, it has the strangest name, right? Purim comes from the Hebrew word pur, which means a lot, right? And it comes from the fact that when Haman wanted to decide what day he was going to destroy the Jewish people on, he cast lots. And this holiday is named after the means on which he derived the day to destroy the Jewish people. It's like, really? That's what we're going to name it after? Why not the Feast of Esther and Mordecai, right? But again, it ties to this point of what we're saying, a deeper meaning, which is that Haman is a descendant of Amalek. Amalek is the first atheist in the Bible, and he's the first one to attack the children of Israel when they came out of Israel. And Haman, his means to destroy the Jewish people reflects his worldview. Atheists believe that there's no God in control, that everything is by time and chance. And so Haman picks the means of chance to show that the God of Israel and what they believe isn't true. And that's the irony of the story. God reverses it to show that he actually is in control of it all, despite whatever it may seem like on the surface. And I think this is so important for us because part of hope, right? Hope is the belief that our future is going to be better than our past, but a root and foundation of hope is knowing that God is in the details, that he's working all things out together for good. So as we see God in all of these details of Purim and the holidays and the scriptures and how they connect, it should give us hope and confidence that God is in the details and he's connecting it all.
Come on. Amen. You know, one thing I've thought of with Esther's story is what it must have been like for the Jewish people to hear that there was a decree issued against them to annihilate them. I mean, and a certain amount of time passed between that decree before the answer came, as far as I remember right. So I'm trying to imagine where they feel like they kind of have their hands tied. They can't defend themselves. Their doom is sure. But then they get a new decree that they can't undo that one. But now they're allowed to defend themselves. But, you know, the sissy in me is still like, yeah, but they still got to fight. But what changes now is that, you know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is on their side. And but speak to that, because I feel, you know, maybe it's a stretch, but I'm just wondering, you know, how does that apply to us today? Because I sure see, you know, we still, it feels like we're behind enemy lines. There is still, you know, we're in the crosshairs of the enemy. But God, because Jesus went to the grave and blew the doors off of the devil's claim, we can now stand in faith and stand in battle, and we will overcome. But the battle is still in play. So I would love for you to maybe speak to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, again, Purim and Passover are tied together. And so there is a deeper connection here. And I want to think about it maybe in this way. During Passover, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, they pretty much had to do nothing, right? They just had to trust the Lord. They had one thing to do, put the blood on the doorpost. And when I see it, I'll pass over. Even when they come to the Red Sea, they, you know, God says, be still, you know, through Moses, be still and watch the salvation of your God. And they cross through the Red Sea and God drowns the Egyptians or enemies in it. And God totally did everything for them to bring that salvation and victory for them. They go into the wilderness and God says, okay, now you need to go in and take the land. And ultimately, they go in and look at the land, and they see the giants, and they get fearful, and they don't want to go. And that's the whole reason why they had to wander, and that whole generation died in the wilderness. So here's the connection. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt initially, they were children. They were babies. You know, babies need everything done for them. But there comes to a point where God wants us to grow to the place of maturity, where we're not babies. He wants us to be his partners in the work that he's doing. And so the children of Israel had to actually fight with God. I mean, God was going to do the greater part, but they actually had to partner with God to go in and take the land because he wanted them to grow into the fullness of adulthood and to be part of a part and partner in the process. And that's the same with the book of Esther, right? He's saying, listen, I'm giving you the opportunity to partner with me in the thing that I am doing. And that's part of the amazing calling and mission God has given to us. When we come to faith, he doesn't say, okay, now you just come to heaven. You don't have to be there anymore. No, he says, listen, now I'm going to keep you there, but now I'm going to empower you to partner with me and bring redemption, salvation, and transformation to the world. It might not be easy, but don't you want to play a part in my plan?
Hmm. Amazing. We got to have you back again because I'm just scratching the surface. I mean, I know we still got a good 20 minutes left, but I've got a good hour's worth of notes left. So, you know, that is, wow, just so interesting and amazing. Okay, let's go back to Shabbat. The word means rest in Hebrew. Talk about how the Jews practice Shabbat and what we can learn from them and from this really important celebration and observance.
Yeah, Shabbat is a gift. It's one of the greatest gifts that God has given us. And, you know, it's so interesting on just a spiritual level. It says in Exodus that on the seventh day, God rested and was refreshed. And the word for refresh in Hebrew is vayinafash, which literally comes from the word nefesh, which means soul. So literally, it could be translated, God rested and was resold. And it's not that God needed to be resold, but it was meant to be an example for us. It's kind of like, I don't know about you, but you know, I used to have these pair of cowboy boots that I really loved to wear, and I wore them so much the heel pretty much wore off. I had to take them to get new heels put on them, right, to the shoemaker. And that's the same thing with us, right? The grind of the week wears on our souls. And Shabbat is meant to renew us and refresh us, our soul and our body, so that we can, you know, get strengthened again through that connection with Him and connection to family for what's coming up in the week to come.
And you're right that Shabbat in Hebrew means to rest, to cease, to put an end to stop completely. And you said this concept of rest is an insult to the pace of today, but God works on a different clock and He's usually in no hurry. What does that look like for you in these days, Rabbi? And I would just love to know, how do you practice Shabbat? What does that look like and what can we learn?
Yeah, I mean, it means taking a break from work. It means spending time in the Word, spending time with worship, spending time with your family. But one of the very particular things I love about Shabbat is that all Jewish holidays and every Jewish day begins in the evening, because the Bible says it was evening and morning, the first day. So biblically, days start in the evening. So Shabbat always starts on Friday night with a Shabbat meal. And I have to tell you, learning about the Shabbat is one of the greatest things you can do for your family. Because every Friday night, we sit around the table and God wants us to have shalom in the home. And the way that He designed the Shabbat is you create shalom in the home through blessing and honor. And so at that meal, you bless God. The husband blesses his wife. He blesses his children. The children and the wife bless him, bless the parents. And it is just so powerful to speak these words of life, because God created the world through words. And our words create worlds. And when we speak blessing over people intentionally, and it just changes the depth of your relationship, and it just creates a sense of identity and love and worth that's just, it's incredible.
Just read the other day from a woman who talked about Shabbat growing up and how there was such expectancy and excitement. You know, no kid wants their parents to be workaholics and to just be have the pedal to the metal all the time. And so you can imagine what this would do for a child, this expectancy that, okay, work is stopping. Okay, we've got to make sure we have all of our supplies ahead of time. And okay, we're lighting the candle now. Okay, now we're sitting down. And now my father is blessing my mom, and now he's blessing me. And she just, from her, you know, she kind of described from a child's perspective what it was like to have that Shabbat meal. And it just warmed my heart. And it's like, we really are missing it when we miss this whole amazing, amazing observance to pause and go, you know what, more rests on God's shoulders than on mine. And that's what you said, is true rest reflects trust.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. All right. Well, when we come back, I want you to say, talk a bit about, because you said that God charges people not only to take one day off a week, but 1 year off from farming the ground every 7 years. I think there's something there for us as well. If you've got questions, go ahead and text them in. What great conversation talking to Rabbi Jason Sobel. We're going to have to, maybe, Lord willing, get him on a regular basis. Anybody give me an amen? Anybody? I guess I got to talk with you, Rabbi, if your schedule allows, but we would sure love it. His book that we're drawing from today is Aligning with God's Appointed Times, Discover the Prophetic and Spiritual Meaning of the Biblical Holidays. We'll be back in a moment.
Brought to the fire.
You know, if we could get an increasingly clearer vision of who God is and how he is, and a ravishing view of who Jesus is, and in a sense of eternity and what Jesus promised us, I wonder if it would impact how we show up in life. You know, again, life on earth is short. Eternity is long. But as we live for the long haul, if we lift our eyes to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, we would maybe have a little more holy confidence and even an understanding in the face of battle and demonic assault that overwhelming victory is ours, and we will prevail because Jesus prevailed. Amen. Talking to our friend Rabbi Jason Sobel, his book is titled Aligning with God's Appointed Times, Discover the Prophetic and Spiritual Meaning of the Biblical Holidays. So fascinating. And I can tell you agree by all the texts that have come in. We've got a handful of copies to give away today. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And Rabbi, the consensus is in. Everybody wants you to come back on a regular basis. So you and I will talk after about that one. So we were talking about Shabbat, and you actually said that God not only charges people to take one day off a week, but 1 year off from farming the ground every 7 years. Say more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's known as the Shemitah. And, you know, God says to the children of Israel, when they go in and take the land, that they're to take 1 day a week off, the seventh day, but then every seventh year, they're to let the land lie fallow. And part of there's a lot of significance to that. I mean, one is that just like God provided manna in the wilderness, and God, the children of Israel had to trust God to provide for them every day, he wants the people to let the land lie fallow so that they can learn to trust and depend upon him, understanding that ultimately their provision comes from the Lord, and they were to take that year and to study and to get refreshed and to be renewed and to focus on family and spiritual development. And it's actually a pattern here. 1 week, 1 year, every seventh year, then every 50th year, they had to take 2 years off, the seventh year, and then going into the Jubilee, the seven sevens, and then going into the Jubilee, the 50th year. And then ultimately, that's going to culminate in the Messianic Kingdom, which is going to be the ultimate Shabbat and Sabbath. But there's something even more there that it teaches us, because in the sabbatical year, you didn't work the ground, but you also let the indentured servants go free. Those who had to pay a debt that they couldn't afford to pay, they worked that debt off, they would go free. And this ties to forgiveness in a very significant way, because Peter says to Jesus, don't forgive 70 times 7, 490. And this ties back to the book of Daniel, chapter 9. And Daniel is in exile, where God says the children of Israel went into exile for 70 years because they neglected the trusting God and keeping the sabbatical year, the seventh year. So he sent them into exile so that God's land could rest. And then God, the angel comes, it's not 70 years to the end of exile, but 70 times 7, 490, until all of the prophecies are fulfilled and the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. Why 490? Because it ties to the ultimate sabbatical year. Because think about it for a moment, with its tie to forgiveness, right? Sin is a debt, right? When someone does something wrong against us and we forgive them, we're giving them a personal Sabbath, right? A personal Jubilee. We're letting them go. But also in that year, you don't till the ground. Tilling the ground is not tilling the ground, is the ultimate picture of forgiveness. Because true forgiveness is when you just let the past lie fallow and you don't keep digging it up again. Wow. And again and again. And so I think some of us in our own personal lives have to say, you know what, I'm going to let it lie. I'm not going to keep bringing up the things that I've done and keep blaming myself. And I'm going to forgive myself, and I'm going to forgive those who wronged me, and I'm just going to let it go and give it to the Lord, even as he forgave me.
Wow. I've overused my wow word today. That's what I mean. It's just layer upon layer of revelation and of truth. It's so rich and so deep. I can only imagine, as you came to Christ, Rabbi, how Technicolor the Scriptures became for you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was, you know, when I prayed to receive Yeshua, Jesus, and I wasn't quite sure what it all meant. And as I began to read the Scriptures and I saw how it all connected, and even more so over the years, it's just that sense of wonder and amazement of how big and how awesome God is and how amazing his plan is for us and for our life. There's literally, you know, there's no end.
You know, you've been so immersed. You were immersed in your studies before you came to Jesus, but even more so now. Yet you, like us, are surrounded by lots of troubling news. And I'm wondering, how do you handle it? Or maybe you don't ever get there because you're so rooted and grounded. But I'm just wondering, when you find your spirit troubled because of the times we're in, do you find yourself ever worrying? Or do you just feel like I'm so immersed myself in the end of the story that I'm just going to keep walking? I mean, how do you navigate that?
Yeah, listen, I think that there always comes moments in our lives where there's going to be worry and anxiety, whether it's over our children, over someone we love, over our finances, over the state of the world in which we live in. You know, there's always going to be a moment where those feelings kind of creep in. And I just think that's where, again, I think it ties back to the biblical holidays and one of the reasons why it's so significant to celebrate them. And one of the reasons why we celebrate them is because God's constantly telling us in the Scriptures, remember, remember, remember what I did for you. Remember what I did for your ancestors. And so I just try and remember all the times God has shown up in my life and in all the ways that God has been faithful. And I just say, Lord, you know, do it again.
Amen. Amen.
Do it again.
Amen. Wow. Just got a little bit of time left. And John writes in and says, he says, you please ask the rabbi why the Jewish nation continued to work the land every seventh year.
It was a lack of faith. Hmm. I mean, it takes, when you're dependent upon the land to eat, to literally survive, you know, it's really hard to, you know, trust God when you're generations removed from seeing the miracles of what he had done. And part of the reason why they struggled to have faith is that they didn't obey God by removing the foreign peoples from the lands and intermarrying with them and staying connected with them. And so all the negative aspects of the pagan beliefs impacted their hearts and lives as well.
You know, going back to what I mentioned that you'd written in the book before, is that rest is an act of trust. It shows how much we trust. And man, as I consider how we are treating each other and what our instinctive reactions are when we bump up against each other, to me, it's truly a sign that we've not been resting. We've not been getting with God, going, Lord, more rests on your shoulders than on mine. I'm going to exhale. I'm going to breathe in your presence. Teach me to love you more. Teach me to love others the way that you do, so that we could reflect your heart. And I feel like every time I talk with you, I exhale and I find my heart more at rest. And I just can't thank you enough, Rabbi. And I'm really praying
you
will. Let's talk about this. You decide. And we'll send you some dates. And if it works, you got to come back.
Right.
Our listeners love you. But thank you for just the way you steward God's word and the way that you follow him and love him. We sure appreciate you.
Well, I just appreciate you and this radio program and the ministry and the way God uses you through it and all the different ways. So you're doing something special, and it's clear God is in it, and it's a blessing to be with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, until we talk again, friends, I pray you found some encouragement here today. If anything comes out of the show today, remember how great God is, how intimately involved he is, how mighty he is. You can trust him, so trust him and get some rest. All right, we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. and never miss a show.